Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Just share some thoughts about faith a little bit. The story of Abraham and Sarah. When Abraham was 75 years old, Sarah was 65 years old. They had had no children. She had been barren all her life. And God gave Abraham a promise about a seed, and that through his seed all the earth would be blessed, all the people of the earth would be blessed. And early on in that process, Abraham, knowing that they had never had children, had never been able to have children, the promise was given. Soon after that, he asked God, he said, well, I have an heir, and it's my nephew, Eliezer. Will that do? And the Lord said to him, no, this is going to come from your body. So your nephew won't do it all. And so 12 years into the program, and nothing's happened yet, he comes up with the idea of Hagar, which was the handmaid, because that would be a child that would at least come from his body. So he's 10 years, he's 85 years old, and Hagar gets pregnant. And when he's 86 years old, she gives birth to Ishmael. And then when he's 99 years old, the Lord comes to him and speaks to him again about a seed. And he says to him in chapter 17 of Genesis that this child is going to come from Sarah's body. His body, Sarah's body. And he falls down before the Lord and laughs out loud. And the Lord tells him, well, he's going to name him. Basically, God gets the last laugh. And as soon as that happens, another scene occurs, and he comes to, in a unique way, comes to Sarah and tells her, and she laughs. And then the Lord said this really neat thing to them. Now, this is 25 years or 24 years into the promise, yet it not be fulfilled yet. You know, Abraham didn't believe the simple word initially. He offered his nephew, then he tried to help God out with Ishmael. And when the Lord told him he was going to come from Sarah's body, even then he says, well, can't Ishmael stand before you? Won't he do? He says, no, it's going to come from Sarah's body too. And then when he speaks to Sarah and she laughs, says this, and I think this is a key to the whole thing, and for them, finally, getting it. In verse 14 of Genesis 18, God says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? And the word would be also, Hebrew would be the word, it could be translated wonderful. God can do anything. All wonderful things God can do. Is it too wonderful for you to believe that God can do that? I mean, isn't that what a childlike faith is that believes in wonderful things? Yet unfortunately, often as we grow in the Lord, we grow cynical. And we've dealt with enough discouragement, disappointment, and stuff that we no longer believe that in wonderful things. And wonderful things often are very difficult. They seem impossible. But that's God's specialty. Wonderful things that seem impossible. And he said, at the point in time, I will return to you. And at this time next year, Sarah shall have a son. So in the little story in Romans 4 and in Hebrews 11, about Sarah and Abraham's faith, this is what it says in verse 18 of Romans 4. In hope against hope, he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. I've always gotten tickled over the years when people say, see, God's so awesome, he never really thought Abraham walked in unbelief for all those 25 years. That's not what it says at all. It said that he started to believe when he was about 100 years old. And that's when God came to him when he was 99 years old and Sarah was now almost 90 years old. And at that point, he began to believe. And I believe that he started to believe because he heard God say, is anything too wonderful for me? Is anything too difficult for me? anything too wonderful, no matter how difficult it is. This was never about you. This was always about me. And then it says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. There's all kinds of cool stuff here, but we're not going to talk about all that. And being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, Abraham got it. It wasn't about whether Abraham was able to perform. It was about the fact that God was able to perform. And it says here that he was fully assured that what he had promised. I like the way the King James says it. It says, being fully persuaded. We've been saying this a good bit here lately, but that faith doesn't start with what we believe. Faith always starts with what he believes. And is he faithful to perform what he believes? Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. It's too often, and I see it happen all the time in Christianity and people's formulas about faith. It's like we're somehow, what I believe can persuade God to act. But the truth is, it's what he believes that persuades us to faith. So it says, he was fully persuaded. He didn't have to persuade God to do something. God had already promised it. When he finally got persuaded by God that God was able and faithful, then he believed. Again, like our favorite new verse recently, 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are yes in Christ. And by him, the amen through us. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. Whatever promise it is that you're crying out for, you're contending for, you're believing for in the Bible, all the promises. Again, we've talked about this before. Promises of anointing, promise of peace, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Think of any promise. He's already said yes to you in Christ. And it's not about us persuading him. We don't fast to persuade him. We don't need to twist his arm. When we fast, when we pray, what happens is there'll come a point in there where we break through into faith because he's persuaded us. That's really important to understand. Faith doesn't start with what we believe. Faith starts with what he believes, and coming into agreement with what he believes, because we're persuaded that what he believes, he's faithful to perform. I love Sarah's, the little testimony of Sarah's faith. Hebrews 11, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive beyond the proper time of life, something that was wonderful and difficult, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Her faith doesn't start with me and me persuading God. Faith always starts with him and a revelation of his faithfulness and what he believes, and he's faithful to perform what he believes, persuading me. That's why we talk about Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of faith. How did he live? How many times have we heard this the last few years? He bore witness of what he saw and heard. What he saw and heard the Father doing and saying, he just bore witness of it. He bore witness of what the Father believed. And again, that's Galatians 2:20. We live by the faith, that's the literal translation, of the Son of God. When you simply come into agreement with what he believes persuades you, then you're living by the faith of the Son of God. You're living by his faith. This, the New American Standard says that Abraham was fully assured. I like that too. Because one of the phrases people use a lot when they want to convince you, persuade you about something. They'll go, rest assured that I'm going to take care of this. See, when you're fully persuaded that what he believes is what matters, then you can rest. That's entering into his rest. You can rest assured. That's why faith is not a formula. It's not gritting your teeth and trying to. It's rest. It's rest being. It's rest. That thing, that verse we read yesterday, 2 Timothy 2:13. Even when we believe not, he abides faithful because he can't deny himself. What he believes, he can't go back on. And faith starts with that. That he actually believes what he believes and he's faithful to perform what he believes. He watches over his word. His word is just a revelation of what he believes to perform it. And faith is just resting in that. So stop trying to persuade God to do things for you. And thinking you got to get faith perfect, just right, to finally go bingo, and you got it right enough to persuade him. Find out what he believes about you. Find out what he believes about the situation and rest assured that it's true. And you'll see the manifestation. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.